Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump's fight to keep his tax returns from going public is far from over. Today, his attorneys urged a trio of skeptical judges to block New York prosecutors from obtaining the financial documents. From member station WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
The case stems from the Manhattan DA's attempts to examine 8 years of tax returns for, among other things, possible tax or other fraud. Trump lost his case at the U.S. Supreme Court that he was immune from all investigation while sitting president. Now his lawyers say the DA's subpoena is overbroad and in bad faith. Trump already lost that argument in federal court, and now a panel of appeals court justices called Trump's lawyers' arguments contrived and far-fetched. The judges were even uncertain if their own decision earlier this month prevented the DA from enforcing his subpoena. The court ordered both parties to submit letters on that next week. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Bernstein in New York.
New York's making expanded outdoor dining in New York City permanent. Thousands of restaurants can keep serving tables on sidewalks and parking spaces and keep customers socially distanced. Florida, meanwhile, says it's leaving it up to businesses and local governments to decide how to keep people safe. Governor Ron DeSantis says he's not only lifting all statewide COVID-19 restrictions on restaurants and other businesses, he's also banning local fines on people who refuse to wear their masks. The economy is central in President Trump's re-election bid. DeSantis backs President Trump. In Massachusetts, two former administrators of the Holyoke Soldiers Home are facing criminal charges after at least 76 residents at the facility died of COVID-19. State Attorney General Maura Healey says the state is focusing on a decision that Bennett Walsh and David Clinton made at the start of the pandemic in the U.S. to consolidate two dementia units into one, thereby exposing COVID-free elders to infected residents.
Because there wasn't enough space in these overcrowded rooms for all the veterans, the home placed 9 beds in a dining room.
The overall COVID-19 death toll in the U.S. is more than 200,000. The 17-year-old from Illinois accused of shooting 3 people, 2 fatally at a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin's fighting extradition. We have details from Latoya Dennis.
Kyle Rittenhouse is facing mandatory life in prison. He's charged with first-degree intentional homicide and 1 count of attempted intentional homicide. Rittenhouse has said he traveled to Wisconsin in the wake of the police shooting of Jacob Blake to help protect businesses. Many were broken into and some burned during the unrest at the end of August. Rittenhouse's attorneys had asked for an additional month to prepare arguments.
That's Latoya Dennis reporting. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 214 points at 27,030. This is NPR. The attorney for Breonna Taylor's family is calling on the Kentucky Attorney General to release all grand jury transcripts as he questioned whether evidence was actually presented on Taylor's behalf. In March, Taylor was killed by police who entered her home on a no-knock warrant as part of their narcotics investigation. She was struck 5 times. None of the officers in the incident has been directly charged with Taylor's killing. The grand jury decision sparked more protests and violence in Louisville yesterday, police say. They have arrested at least 24 people whom they accuse of vandalizing businesses and city property. The charges include unlawful assembly, riot in the first degree, and failure to disperse. French authorities are classifying an attack in the streets of Paris as a terrorist act because of its timing and where it took place. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports the attacker struck outside the former offices of the satirical weekly magazine Charlie Hebdo.
The attack came as the trial of 14 suspects accused of aiding the 2 gunmen who killed 11 people at the magazine's headquarters in 2015 gets underway. Paul Moreira works in the news agency that occupies the former offices of Charlie Hebdo. He described what he saw to French television BFM. Somebody in the street with a kind of hatchet attacked 2 people standing in front of the building, he said, and then he ran off. Moreira called it chilling that the attack happened in the same place. Today, there is a mural to the slain cartoonist not far from Charlie Hebdo's former offices. Police have arrested 2 suspects.
That's NPR's Eleanor Beardsley.